Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock.
Welcome to St. Peter's Lutheran Church. This Sunday is the second Sunday in Advent, and the theme is that we are to prepare for the Advent, for the coming of our King. Please turn to page 2 in the bulletin for the lighting of the Advent candles. We light 2 Advent candles, remembering Jesus who came in history. He came into a world of sin and death. We remember Jesus who came as the promised Messiah. John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord. We hear his call to repent. We light 2 Advent candles as a sign of our repentance and desire for renewal. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Through your word and spirit, may our souls be blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The first lesson is recorded in the Apostle Peter's second letter, chapter 3. The longer our King delays His second advent, His second coming, the more time people have to be prepared for His coming. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. This is the word of our God. Jesus' harbinger, or forerunner, John the Baptist, preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, preparing the hearts of the people for the advent of the Promised One. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
We join, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. We direct our attention to Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is God's word. The congregation may be seated. If you've ever taken a guided tour of Mammoth Cave, you know that they take you into a cavern and they turn all the lights off to give you an example of absolute darkness. It's a darkness that is so thick you can almost feel it. But before they turn the lights off, they tell you in no uncertain terms that no one should take any flash photography. Because if somebody would, everyone in that cavern would be blinded because all of their pupils are completely dilated, completely open. When they turn the lights on, they do it gradually so your eyes can get used to the bright light. The Bible tells us that our God lives in inapproachable light. As people who live in the darkness of sin, you and I cannot approach our God to see Him and behold Him in all of His glory. By ourselves as sinners, we could not stand in the majesty of His splendor and live. But that doesn't mean that we are doomed to the darkness of death and damnation forever. Rather, as we learn in God's word for today, the Lord prepares us to see His glory. First of all, He comes into our heart with His comfort, and then as in a response, our hearts overflow with His comfort. Isaiah the prophet began to serve God's Old Testament people about 740 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. God had sent him to serve a rebellious people, the children of Israel. They had a long history of backsliding and turning their backs on the Lord God Almighty and on His holy commands and on all of His words because they rebelled against the Holy One of Israel and disregarded Him. And through His rule off of their shoulders, the Lord would allow them to be taken captive 400 miles away in a foreign land called Babylon. There they would sit in bondage, away from Jerusalem, away from the Lord's dwelling place, away from the temple. There they would sit in shame and disgrace because of their sin. Like God's Old Testament people, you and I are guilty of rebelling against the Holy One of Israel. At times we have made our thoughts more important than the thoughts of our God that He reveals to us on the pages of sacred scripture. At times we have chosen for ourselves our own ways, contrary to the direction that God gives us in His holy word. At times we have walked down the dark road of sin that leads to everlasting death and destruction. And because of it, you and I all stand under God's judgment. That's what Isaiah says. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God stands forever. Those are kind of humiliating words, aren't they? They remind us of how frail we really are, how fleeting our life really is, and how inconsequential all of our accomplishments are before a just and a holy God. We live in a society that loves to worship human ingenuity. We love to impress ourselves with our accomplishments and with our advancements in travel, our advancements in science and in medicine, our advancements in the arts and in technology, and on and on and on. But in the end, none of those things is really going to matter at all. No matter what great accomplishments we might accomplish during our lifetimes, they'll soon be forgotten. No matter how impressive our actions and doings might be to other people, in the end, they will simply be considered nothing before a just and holy God. Like a blade of grass springs up in the morning and in the afternoon shrivels in the afternoon sun, so also you and I spring up quickly, and just as quickly we vanish and fly away. Even if we live to be 100 years, it's nothing but a breath on a cold winter's day that appears for a second and is gone. That's how quickly you and I are swept away in death. If left by ourselves, we would certainly end up in the deepest darkness of death, being shriveled up in the majesty of God's splendor. That's why you and I need the Lord to prepare us to see His glory. The prophet Isaiah says, "In the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain." Do you know what picture Isaiah is painting with those words? It's that of a king who is going to visit a city in the heartland of his country. Before the king goes, he sends messengers to that city to announce to the people that the king is going to visit them and to get the people to prepare a road, a highway that is proper for their ruler to travel down. That road needs to go straight into the heart of his country, and so they have to take out the winding parts of it. That road is to be smooth and flat, and so they have to fill in the valleys and cut down the mountains. They have to remove the clutter and the bumps that are on the road so the king can have a smooth, straight shot right into the heart of his kingdom. Well, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, through his prophets, through his holy word, seeks to prepare a highway into our hearts. He calls upon us to repent of those twisted and crooked roads that we have walked down. He calls upon us to fill in the deep valleys of corruption and iniquity, to cut down the mountain heights of arrogance before our God. He calls upon us to repent of the spiritual garbage and litter that clutters the way into our hearts. And then he assures us that we are forgiven. By exposing our sin and crushing our hearts with the condemnation of his law, he prepares our hearts to see his glory. He comes with his precious promises, and he reveals to us the comfort that his glory gives us. And what is his glory? It shines brightly in the person of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ's glory shines in his humility. Christ humbled himself and took on our frail human flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary, fully God and fully human in one perfect person. Jesus never walked down the twisted roads of iniquity and transgressions. Jesus never plunged into the deep valleys of immorality. Jesus never climbed to the mountain heights of arrogance before God. Jesus was always humble before the Heavenly Father, always carrying out his Heavenly Father's will. And the prophet Isaiah teaches us how Jesus releases us from our spiritual captivity through his sacrifice on the cross. He foretold it 800 years before it happened in Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is through that sacrifice on the cross and the message of that sacrifice that the Lord enters our hearts with his comfort. It is with the Spirit-filled gospel of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit speaks tenderly to us, announces to us that our sins have been forgiven. Through that Spirit-filled word, we receive from the Lord's hands a double portion of His grace, of His mercy, of His love, of His everlasting forgiveness. Christ's empty tomb stands shining brightly as a guarantee that one day you and I will see God in all of His glory in heaven. That is the comfort that He brings into our hearts. And that is the comfort then that will overflow out of our hearts. Isaiah wrote, "He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young." For many people, Christmas is not a time of joy and happiness. They see the merriment and the mirth all around them, but they don't feel it inside. They feel lost, they feel alone, they feel dejected. At times we can feel like lambs and sheep who are lost and straying in this dark, dank, cruel, sin-filled world. And yet we don't have to feel like that, do we? Because we have a loving, tender shepherd who always watches over us. We have a loving, tender shepherd who feeds our souls in the rich pastures of His word and promises. We have a shepherd who gathers us into His arms, who carries us close to His heart, who leads us through this dark, sin-filled world with His soothing and calming and comforting voice. We have a God who gives us Christmas gifts that all the wealth in the world could never purchase for us. Gifts that have already been purchased with His holy, precious, priceless, infinitely valuable blood shed on the cross. He gives us peace, true peace. Peace with God today and forever, which results in peace of heart, soul, mind, and conscience. He gives us the comfort of hope, an absolute certainty that one day we and all of our loved ones who have been gathered in Christ's arms will be together with Him forever in heaven. He gives us the comfort of joy, true joy, even during times of difficulties, because we know that no matter what is going on in our life, we have a loving shepherd who's watching over us, who is comforting us, who is strengthening us, who is guiding us, and who is directing everything that happens in our lives for our good and for His glory. And that is the comfort that overflows out of our heart, a comfort that we can't help but share with others. Isaiah said, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." The good tidings of great joy that the angels first announced on that first Christmas Eve is a message that needs to be heard by every single soul. You and I will want to share that message with the people in our lives around us. And we don't have to be afraid of what people will think of that message, even though many people are trying to take Christ out of Christmas. You and I will show everyone around us that Jesus, the Christ, is the center of our Christmas. Invite others to come and see the newborn King and worship with us in the days to come. Share with them God's Spirit-filled Word so that the Lord can prepare them to see His glory, so that the Lord can fill their hearts with the same comfort that we have, and so that together that comfort will overflow from all of our hearts for the benefit of others. Amen. And the God of peace Himself will soon crush Satan under your feet. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. Eternal Father, throughout the centuries, you repeated and affirmed your promise to send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. Through your prophets of old, you continually directed the eyes of your people to the advent of their Savior. We praise you, O Lord, for keeping your promise and sending your Son to destroy the works of the devil as we prepare to celebrate the birth of our King. Use your mighty word to shatter our pride and to rouse us from spiritual slumber and apathy. Move us to take to heart the words of John, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." You sent your Son to redeem us from sin. Let this good news be our joy and strength. Use it to cheer the lonely, encourage the fearful, and give hope to the despairing. In these days before Christmas, spare us from the stress of deadlines and the frenzy of commercialism. Fill our lives with the message of your peace and the music of your grace. Direct our eyes not only to the manger, but also to the skies, where we will see your Son coming again, not as a lowly child, but as the Lord of Lords. Lift up our hearts in joyful anticipation of that day. Lord of love, we thank you for the 100 years of grace you have granted to your servant, Marian Jeffers. We praise you for being with her in good days and difficult days, in joy and sorrow, in sickness and health. We praise you above all for having provided her with the rich comfort of your word and sacraments. Continue to make these treasures her joy and delight. Be her strength, even when earthly strength fails. And finally, bring her and all of us to the joy and glory of eternal life in your presence. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in your grace, in your power, and in your glory. Come, Lord Jesus, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.